I'm Hannah Davis.
And this week we are talking about our favorite Sandra Bullock movies. And I know Hannah is very passionate about this topic, so kick us off.
Okay, well, what's not to love about Sandra Bullock? I know that some people, well, those people are crazy. I'm not even going to talk about those people.
They are crazy. No, don't talk about them.
So we thought we would have some fun today talking about Sandra Bullock movies that we have loved, some of our favorites. So I guess I will start off. My favorite Sandra Bullock movie came probably about 10 years ago now. It's been a while. Holy cow.
Yeah.
But it came in a form of a football story, so it should not shock anyone who knows me. and yeah, so we're talking about The Blind Side. That's, I'm going to talk a little bit about how much I loved Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side. Obviously it was an Oscar winning performance, so just stunning and fabulous. And, so yeah, that's mine. I'm loving The Blind Side. I still love it to this day, all the time.
It was a really good movie. It was very sweet. And mine is, I'm pretty sure it's my second all-time favorite movie. and it's my favorite rom-com is The Proposal. I've watched that movie so many times. It's so good. I love it. I love it.
Say that anytime that you can get Betty White dancing around a little fire pit is pretty much the best thing in the world.
Betty White was great. Ryan Reynolds was great. Mm. Sandra Bullock was great. The weird immigration dude was great. There was so many things I loved about it. And he has a complicated relationship with his parents. It ticks a lot of boxes that I have. It's very good.
Yay! So if you are joining us in the podcast, make sure to click on the link down below and you can hear us talk about all the things about Sandra Bullock. Mm-hmm.
See you there. Bye.
Bye. We are talking this time around about Sandra Bullock movies that we have loved. And earlier in the intro, we talked a little bit about our two that we loved, and I chose The Blind Side. Yeah, I love football. Football is one of my favorite sports, and so the fact that this movie had football in it was important to me, and then the fact that Sandra Bullock was playing the wonderful Leanne Toohey is probably my favorite thing about the entire movie.
In terms of like acting performance, she was not, you wouldn't say that this was a cardboard cutout Sandra Bullock rom-com character.
This
character was very different to anything she's played before. And it came through so strongly that mm-hmm. you were not seeing Sandra Bullock. You were seeing this other person just speaking out of Sandra Bullock's mouth.
So speaking about Leanne Toohey, I follow her on Instagram. Ever since the movie has come out, I've just been like obsessed with Leanne Toohey and the Toohey family, and also obsessed with Sandra Bullock, which, wait, that hasn't changed. I was obsessed with Sandra Bullock way before then. But Leanne Toohey she's just like a dynamite person in general. Like, she just has this personality that exceeds all other personalities, and it's the Leanne Toohey way. And if you get in Leanne Toohey's way, you're going to know. Like, I'm speaking in a Southern accent right now. She's just one of the most, I love her strong role, not only in the movie, mm-hmm. like the way Sandra Bullock plays it. And I have mm-hmm. heard also through interviews that SJ, who's the little brother. So the real SJ in real life. They would come onto set to watch, and he would be like, why would it? But I don't like it as much because there's two Leannes. Like, one is enough. There's a second one now. And she had the most outstanding performance, I think, of her career up until that point. She's done some really seriously outstanding stuff since then. But that was really her breakout role past the rom-com series, and it was just mm-hmm. the most heartwarming story. It really was. And she plays mm-hmm. that character so well. I was a little scared about a blonde Sandra Bullock. Because that's something you just
don't. It worked, though.
It worked for her. I wasn't sure if I was going to like it stepping into the movie, but halfway through the movie, you're like, that just totally makes sense. It just is. Mm-hmm. And she plays this strong, like, my way or the highway, but I'm going to be kind and compassionate. And it's such a unique character to play. And I think what I really loved is learning about the bonding that took place behind the scenes between Leanne and Sandra. And I have more probable stories I could tell and continue to tell about that too. But
there's a few Sandra Bullock quotes and moments that I wanted to approach because she is Leanne Toohey to a T. And these are the moments that I just was like, so there's a moment where she's there talking to the coach. Well, technically, the coach is trying to coach Michael, and it's not working.
Oh, yeah, he's funny.
It's just not working. He's not connecting with Michael. And this is after Michael's been living with the family for a little while. So Leanne kind of knows her son by now. And she goes up, and she pulls – she explains to Michael, like, pulls the tail back in front of her, and she's like – Oompa Loompa's here, your tail back. Like, and she just explains it in a way that is very Michael-esque. And she leaves and she like gives the coach a little pat on the, like a little swat on the butt. Like as she's leaving. Like I don't know anyone else who could pull that off like Leanne or like Sandra Bullock playing Leanne Toohey. It just is the funniest moment. And afterwards she's like, I said you could thank me later, Bert. It's later. it's just, and that, and the, I'm trying to think of, like, all the moments. There's so many good ones. One of the most, like, poignant ones is when she's with all of her friends at the dinner table eating lunch, an expensive lunch, as we have, was implied. And she goes, after kind of, The friends kind of question her judgment. Let's just put it that way, in a light sense. And she goes, you know what? I don't need y'all to approve my decisions, but I do need you to respect them. And the way she plays this entire movie, but the biggest one for me, and the part that got me the most, is when she went to Michael's real mom. She had to find Michael's real mom, kind of to help Michael get his license and get his appropriate information. And she goes and she finds her. And that was not easy to do, but she finds her. And Michael's mom's just like, you can see her, that she's at her worst. Like she is completely way more than humbled by this whole thing that happened. And she just sits there and holds her hand. And I just remember crying. Because what a beautiful gesture. Like, you're taking care of this woman's son. And that meant everything to have that moment. And I just remember crying in the theater watching that part because it was just the most beautiful thing. But, okay, let's talk a little bit more. Jess, you mentioned such a great rom-com.
The Proposal. Oh, my goodness. So anybody who listened to our What Floats Your Boat episode will know, like, the things that I love characters who are in conflict with each other yet are loyal to each other, and that is just this movie down to the ground. Like, Ryan Reynolds hates Sandra Bullock. She's awful. She's such a horrible boss. And yeah,
which makes me think, hold on for a second, like, why did we like her in the first place in this movie? Just in that, like first, like, 5-10 minutes. And then you're
mostly just because it was funny, but yeah, you're kind of like, oh, I don't love this person very much, but she's really good at her job. Like, she's obviously worked hard to get where she is, and she's great at it. And you kind of feel like there's something else at play, and that the layers are going to be peeled away during the movie. So you're willing to overlook what she's like at the start. I know some other people have complained about how unlikable she is at the start, but it just cracks me up. It just makes me laugh to see how awful she is to Ryan Reynolds.
It's all part of the character's arc.
And yet you can also see, like, he really respects her. He says to his father during the movie that she's the best in the business. He puts up with how awful she is because he's learning from the best. She's great at her job, and he has a lot of respect for her. And they actually work really well as a team. Like, when they're firing that other editor, she uses him. She bounces off him. He is really, like, it's actually a team effort that they do. And you almost feel like this is a little routine that these two have done before.
Yeah.
And even though she drives him nuts, he knows her well. He knows what she likes and she doesn't like. He knows heaps about her. They work well. And she just hasn't been able to let anyone in past that harsh facade. And you're like, well, that's what I'm going to see. So so you're willing to keep going with it. And Ryan Reynolds is great. He loves his job so much. He's so passionate about it. And he will put up with anything to save it. So you respect, like, the drive that he has. And I love storylines that have, like, complicated relationships with their parents, and his relationship with his dad is really complicated, and that's something great. And that seeing them, him and Sandra Bullock, like, not be able to stand each other but have to pretend that they're engaged is just hilarious.
I think any I so appreciate that storyline. Anytime that storyline comes up, I'm usually always hooked in right away anyway, so it's so fun to see that.
It's so good. It's always a storyline that I'm interested in, but it's so rarely done really well.
And it is,
in this movie, it's done so well because it's not just – I've seen, like, poor examples where it's just based on, like, physical attraction. They don't actually know each other. There's no real relationship. But these two have history. Like, they've worked together. They just need that kick over into the other area of their lives. And when they start competing, when they're telling the story of how they got, how they supposedly got engaged, and they just start trying to humiliate one another as much as possible.
So
that's fantastic.
I know that we're going to go off the topic of Sandy B here in a second, but I want to, like, play off of this here for a second because it's so true. I love it when you can, like, pretend and, like, do, like, a pretend engagement or a pretend. And one of my favorite moments is, y'all are going to be surprised to hear me say this, when in Friends, Ross and Rachel, Ross, I know, right? So who is shocked about me talking about Friends? Like, no one. We all know that. But when Ross and Monica, or not Ross and Monica, oh my gosh, please don't.
I was like, where is this going? Gross.
Nope. Not that at all. When Ross and Rachel are at Ross and Monica's parents' anniversary celebration, and they are, it was when, like, Rachel was pregnant, and so Ross's parents just told everyone, oh, they're married now, like, they have something, and so, and Ross,
I remember
and,
that. I not know this
or
one.
the engagement, I think it was about the engagement, not the marriage, and Ross tells this, like, made up story throughout this entire episode about how he proposed to Rachel and how Rachel, no, I think they did, I think it was that they got married, not engaged, but anyway, it doesn't really matter, but, like, Ross and Rachel are both, like, just, I mean, Rachel's talking about how Annie Leibovitz was, like, photographing the wedding, but Annie Leibovitz forgot the film and the cancer. But it was so sweet to hear Ross talk about how he proposed in that to Rachel. And it was just like, aww. And then something about a side cart and a motorcycle. And they, it was really funny. Anyway. Of course, it makes sense that I would spin this off to talk about Friends.
So, the whole movie of the proposal is great. And then you see them, you know, it kind of, he starts to melt her when he catches her dancing with Betty White, doing something embarrassing. And she kind of realizes that she's been caught. He's seen behind the facade to the real person underneath. And from that moment on, it's just like a progression. And he does have her back multiple times during the movie, which is always my favorite thing. Of no matter how much she drives him nuts, he has her back the whole way through. They're a team. They're pulling this off. And it's really good. And it's so funny.
What is your favorite part about Sandra in that movie? Like, about is there a favorite, her. Is a favorite moment that happens that you're just like, this is the Sandy B moment of the movie and this is it? Or is it just kind of like her character in general? What is it that you love so much about Sandra Bullock in The Proposal?
It's the dynamics between them. So I think my favorite moment probably is, like, actually at the start when they're working together to fire the guy and you're like, oh boy, they hate each other, but they actually have, like, quite a rhythm. Or then on the plane when he's saying, you know, you need to know some things about me and I know everything about you, and she's like, oh really, prove it, and he rattles off all these, like, really detailed things about her. You're like, he knows his stuff. Like, there's actually, she pretends that they're very distant, but it's actually not as true as she's making out. And And yeah, and then when, like, when he's freaking out that his grandmother's like gonna find out and then have a heart attack and die, she's like making him feel better and stuff. And she just, you just fully believe that character all the way through. And the more you see her, the more you like her, and you realize that she's had to be tough. She's been alone since she was 16, and she's in a super competitive world, and she's sort of forgotten how to relate to people, and no one's really wanted to get to know her. No one wanted to push past the tough exterior, but he's the one who stuck at it. And yeah, it's just that dynamic all the way through is super cute. And there's never a moment where you're thinking about Sandra Bullock out of While You Were Sleeping or Sandra Bullock out of 2 weeks' notice. Yeah. Like, yeah. you're not seeing that, that kind of sweet, slightly naive, bit bumbling sort of character that she'd played a couple of times before. Like, that is not Margaret in this movie. Margaret is smart. Mm-hmm. Margaret has like a biting sense of humor.
Yep.
She's capable. She's independent. She does not fumble. She, yeah, it's different, and she just nails it.
She does. She really does nail it in that movie. I do appreciate that.
So what's your next one on your list?
Oh gosh. Okay. So I know I talked about this one of our most recent episodes, but I'm going to talk about While You Were Sleeping again, because I could talk about While You Were Sleeping for forever.
It's number 3 on my list.
So in While You Were Sleeping, she plays this character who basically is family-less and kind of accidentally inherits this family. But what I absolutely love about While You Were Sleeping is the fact that she... oh, how do I put this? She is so not desperate for love. That's like so not what I'm trying to say.
She's desperate for family.
She's
though.
Desperate like, she for just... like love in a certain way. She just needs that. And so my favorite thing is watching her become a part of the family. And it's just like, oh, I love this. But she also plays this hilarious character who, I mean, is trying. I don't like it. It's so dumb. Like, she's trying to keep this secret that makes no sense to keep, like, for the entire movie. And the more we start getting to know her, the more we really start falling in love with her. And she, you know, she wants to go to Italy. And some of her, I know that this has to do with the writers, but it's really some of her one-liners that have to do in the movie. So, like, in the intro of the movie, she's talking about the adventures that she would go on with her father and, you know, and... I remember traveling, you know, to Milwaukee, and she at one point says, and it's amazing how exciting Milwaukee isn't. And for somebody who's driven through Milwaukee but never stopped in Milwaukee, I could almost attest to the fact that Milwaukee isn't exciting, but it is fun. And, she plays such a beautiful, in-depth character in that movie, but at the same time has this lighthearted sense about her that's just so endearing, but so, like, you can laugh at her and it doesn't matter. Like, you know, I'm trying to think, like, when they're, her and her eventual love interest are walking along the river in Chicago in downtown, and he's asking, you know, it's cold, it's winter time, and he's like, are you cold? And she's like, no, I'm fine. She says, well, this is my father's jacket. And he's like, oh, he must be really cold. And she's like, no. And she says another line, something about being flat-chested. I can't remember it. It was just the funniest, like, inserted line. Like, yeah, we're pretty similar, you know? I don't remember the line, and it's going to kill me now, but it's so funny.
You're going to look it up as soon as we finish this.
Yes, I will. I'm sure I will. But, yeah, you were sleeping. She's good.
And it could have come off like most storylines, if they had used that plot device, it wouldn't have come off well, because you would have been like, what was her long-term game here? Like, this is not a lie that you can sustain.
Yeah,
he's going to wake up. No. Someone's going to figure it out, blah, blah, blah. And it would have come across like, I can picture a really silly version of this movie that would not have worked. Mm-hmm. But with Sandra Bullock, you believed. And
you
like,
believe
that's
it.
The whole
she is so,
made.
So good at making
this character so believable in every stupid decision that she makes of hiding the secret that she's really not engaged to the guy who's in a coma, and she's falling in love with his brother, but at the same time she can't tell his brother, and it just keeps getting amped up and amped up, and you would never believe that without it being Sandra Bullock. I really don't think
and
that.
And she knows, yeah, that character knows that this isn't going to work long term. Yeah, she knows that this is all going to fall down any second. She just wants 3 days at Christmas where she has people who care about her. And she just, and it's kind of worth it if she just gets those 3 days, and she just can't bring herself to shatter it because, well, it starts with it. She doesn't do it on purpose. It starts without her. But once she has it, she doesn't want to shatter it because she lives such a lonely life, and she just wants those 3 days, and she knows it's all going to come down. And, and a lot of people would have played it like they were going to try and keep it going forever. But she never explicitly says it, but you just know that she knows what's going to go down, but she just needs that little bit. And her lines with, like, Joe Jr. are so dry.
Oh, yes.
That's really cool.
Joe Jr. I like Joe that. Jr. That was I got ice capades.
So good. Yeah, not happening. Yeah. So my next one is a movie that I watched about 1,000 times when I was 14 or so. We had it taped off the TV and missing the first 5 minutes. So anytime I see this movie on DVD and I see the first 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, yeah, I never see this part. But the rest of it I could pretty much recite line by line. Miss Congeniality. Oh, my gosh. Apart from The Proposal, and I would say very close to The Proposal as well, probably the funniest movie that she's ever done. It is such a good movie. And the only reason I don't still watch it is because I don't need to. I can just, like, rewind it all through my head because I know it all so well. That movie was stinking hilarious and great.
Michael Caine is so... fantastic in that role for her. Like, I think that's what I love the most about the movie is the fact that he's like kind of a secondary dad. Like,
he's the Yoda of the movie.
He is. Yes, like he is. He's Yoda. He's Gandalf. He's Gandalf with fashion sense. I don't
know. And he's just so, like, sick of her and her crap and just, like...
And I love the fact that he calls her out on it, too. Like, he's like, you talk about this, but, you know, why is every word of your mouth, like, dripping of sarcasm? And, she is phenomenal in that movie.
So good. So fun. And I think it was the first Sandra Bullock movie I ever watched. Before that... I was watching kids' movies before then. I wasn't really paying attention.
I think that's probably my first Sandra Bullock movie too, come to think of it.
Yeah. And that is. It was so good. And again, it's not the bumbling rom-com Sandra Bullock. Like, this girl is rough and tumble. She's like has such filthy habits. It's so funny at the start. And you just don't question it. Like, yeah, that's just her. And she's got such a great sense of humor. It's and that's writing as well. But
I just want world peace.
And when she's, like, unstrapping all the FBI gear that she has on under the dress, and Michael Caine's like, where's the armored truck? And she has so many things hidden. You're like, oh, my goodness.
That would be my other dress.
And when they're getting her ready and, like, waxing her and stuff, that whole part's just hilarious.
I have to admit, being the dancer that I am, this should also not come as a shock to anyone who knows me. I'm a dancer. I've been trained since I was little, and I actually teach classes now. But being the dancer that I am, I totally like would this is our V we had a VHS and I would rewind it and then learn the dance and then rewind it again just so I could learn the dance routine when they come out onto the stage and it's one in a million, and I like totally I could probably still do that dance to this day. And I learned the whole thing, and I just remember one of my favorite parts is in when she like walks out onto the stage, but she's like not she didn't come down the stairs like everyone else, so she has to like jump over. That made me laugh.
Good stuff. So what's your next one?
You can't really talk about Sandra Bullock without mentioning Hope Floats. If you want,
I haven't even heard of that one.
Oh my gosh! If you like, want to ball your eyes out.
And I saw it.
If you want to ball your eyes out, Hope Floats is the one to go to.
What kind of title is Hope Floats?
It makes sense in the movie. There's so let me explain it just a quick bit. It's
how old is it? It's pretty old.
Oh yeah, I want to say I watched that one. I think I was like 10. Yeah, it came out like 1998. Yep.
Okay.
That's not true. I watched it a little later than 10, but I think I was like 12. But so it's her, Sandy B, and her her mom, Birdie, mm-hmm. And her daughter, Bernice. And, okay, to start the movie, she basically finds out that her husband has cheated on her with her best friend.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's a rom-com.
Well, it's more like a romance than a rom-com. Like, it's definitely yeah. more drama. It's not rom-com at all. I wouldn't
I'm
say
being
that
sarcastic.
They're... Yes. It's just sad. But it really, okay, so it's basically about her grieving past the divorce and finding hope again, and hence hope. And her mom has a saying, just give it a little time and hope always rises to the top, or hope floats to the top. So it's like, and hope will float. So I can't remember the exact line, but it's something like that. And so hence the title of the movie. Mm-hmm. But Harry Connick Jr. plays her love interest, and mm-hmm. I have some mixed feelings about Harry Connick Jr. I like him in some mm-hmm. roles. I'm not so sure about him in some others, but mm-hmm. the two of them together in this movie, I have to remember, I don't watch it often because I don't love to watch movies where I cry all the time, but sometimes being a girl, you just need a cry movie. Like you just were like, I just need to cry. And I need a movie. Like, this is a thing. I don't know why, but this is a thing. So men of the world, just understand that women sometimes just need to cry for no reason. And this is one of those movies.
We were watching Sleepless in Seattle the other day, and I'd never actually seen that movie, I realized, when I sat down with Laura and watched it.
Oh.
I thought I had, but I hadn't. And we were watching the scene where her and Rosie O'Donnell are watching an affair to remember, and they start crying. And then later the scene where Tom Hanks's character, his sister, is then also talking about A Fair to Remember and starting to cry. And then the guys start talking about some action movie. I don't know which one it was, but then they are like having the same reaction about this action movie.
It's a war movie, and it's a big war. Yeah. Okay, what is it? Oh, it's almost over my turn. we'll move on.
Great.
I will remember it in like, 2 hours.
But there is like a perfect GIF from that movie that someone has to have made
yes.
to describe that phenomenon that you're describing.
Yes. Yes. And it's so true. Like all the girls are just like weeping over this beautiful romance of an affair to remember. And then all of the men are like weeping over the men who have to die. And like, cause then they like, yeah, it's a war movie. That's all I remember. Oh, shoot. It's like, it's a huge war movie and it is escaping me. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to move on. Jess, yeah. You tell me your next one.
My next one also happens to be my all-time favorite Hugh Grant movie, and that is Two
yes.
Weeks Notice.
Yes!
I walked into the house the other night, and my housemate was watching it, and she'd only just started, and I was like, yes!
Okay.
It was super late. Like, I had to work the next day, and I sat down, and I watched the whole thing.
It's totally such an underrated chick flick. I seriously think
it's
that.
It's so good.
I even underrate it from time to time, and in my head, I'm like, oh, but that one wasn't as good as, like, some of the other ones. And then I watch it again, and I'm like, what was I thinking?
It's so funny.
What was I thinking? I was not thinking correctly.
It's fantastic. Yep. It's great. Just the two of them are hilarious, especially Hugh Grant. Like it's the best of his kind of brand of humor, and it probably has like less sliminess than some of the other movies
yeah.
that he's in.
Yeah, it's definitely more on the cleaner side of his comedy.
Yeah. and again, it's that thing of here's two people who've worked together for, I think by the time you hit the sort of inciting incident of her quitting and she gives her 2 weeks notice, I think they've worked together for about a year or something like that. So
yeah, I think
these are people.
It's roughly that.
Yeah, so it's almost the reverse of the proposal in a number of ways, but sort of she's the one working for him. She knows him super well. he can't really live his life without her, but doesn't know it. And except that he's not cranky, he's sort of like overly friendly to everybody.
Yes. Yes.
it's the opposite in many ways.
But I think it takes him a while to like figure out that what he likes about her isn't necessarily the fact that she's just a great assistant or does her job really well.
He's going to miss her friendship.
He's going to miss her friendship.
Yeah, and her judgment, and he really respects her opinion, and yeah, and it takes him a while to sort of realize that, but it's really funny watching them work together when they're annoyed at each other, and yet, again, they always have each other's backs, and they know each other really well, and their banter is hilarious, and when she freaks out about stuff, he's really great. I can't remember what was the thing that she freaked out about.
So it was one of the things was when she was dating this guy and he was like, I don't want. She had a disagreement with her boyfriend or something like that, and she's like, and I think we broke up, like, yeah, and I don't.
And she's stapling everything really aggressively,
like staple. Staple. Oh gosh, I think I just like bothered my microphone. That was, you know, staple. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, and he takes her out and cheers her up, and he's really disturbed by the fact that that this guy treated her like that, and and he's really got her back there, and it's sweet and it's funny, and they're just great.
Yeah, and then she has a thing about boats and not liking boats. And I think one of my favorite lines from that entire movie is listening to Hugh Grant in his accent say, well, surely not all boats. And then she speaks his accent back to him. She's like, yes, all boats. Like, I'm pretty sure I think of that line every single time I think of a boat. Like, all boats. All right.
So
well,
I think that wraps us up.
Yeah. We've talked about Sandra Bullock probably more than we probably should have, but oh well.
So we will see everybody next episode. And bye.
Bye.